welcome to another episode of The Back Porch. It's a little podcast we do here at First Grapevine, buried way deep down in a storage closet underneath the steeple, way underground in the dark, and surprisingly humid little room that we're
feels
in.
Feels nice.
It's not dark. There are six windows in here.
Well, they're all closed. The blinds are closed. Come on, you just gotta, you know. Okay, it's a really lovely...
We're ruining the illusion.
It's a really lovely classroom. We are down low in the building, and we're not underneath the steeple. And nothing I ever say is true. I'm Grant. I'm glad to be here with you. Here today. I'm an associate pastor here.
Oh my gosh.
My favorite color is beige.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm joined by my... two best friends.
Who he secretly doesn't like.
It's not so secret. To my left, the pastor of discipleship, of crafting, of other things.
I'm a volleyball captain now.
You're a volleyball captain?
Yeah.
You're captain of a sinking ship.
Yep.
Yep.
We are tied for last on the Four Fun B League team.
Four Fun B. Not even A, B. All right. Carly Payne, how are you?
Ooh, I'm good. I'm a little tired, but
why are you
not
tired?
I don't know. I'm always tired.
I keep giving her things
to do. Nah.
Every day.
I'm having fun, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are you having fun?
Because it's vacation Bible school week.
It is. Yeah. It's been really fun so far.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Speaking of vacation Bible school, the director of Families with Young Children and the star of the podcast, plus a person who has to fill in with many other tasks and responsibilities here at the church, the one, the only, Monica Lackey.
Hi, everybody.
I swear, I don't know if they can hear you just because of the... I don't know what else to do about the microphone.
Should we switch
microphones? So the inside baseball situation is... Yeah, why don't you go ahead and switch over there? What's going on here is the little device that I use to record this doesn't really show that we can hear her at all, and I don't know if that can be fixed in post. Hello there.
Okay, can you hear, is this one better?
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit more?
A little more than that?
A little bit more.
Okay.
Okay.
Better?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Now I can hear you.
Good. Hi. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very tired, but I'm happy. It's a good kind of tired.
It's a good happy tired?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you and Sandy really spearhead VBS, which looks fantastic.
It's so fun. It's like we've had such a good week.
Can you tell us what the theme is?
Yes. The theme is the Knights of North Castle, and it's awesome. Our whole sanctuary looks like a castle. The Founders Chapel looks like everything is awesome. There's like lanterns like in the dining hall.
It looks
so
incredible.
Cool. And the kids are having a blast. They are they're knights, and they're on these quests every day to find different pieces of the king's armor. And they learn these stories from the king's book. And,
Is it put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6?
Dot dot 10.
Oh, it is.
That's our memory verses, Ephesians 6, dot, dot, 10.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Nice.
Be strong the Lord and the strength of his power. That's the memory verse.
Okay, today, I have to tell you a story already. So there's a little boy in preschool chapel. And he doesn't go to our church, but I was asking the kids, the stuff wasn't like the videos weren't ready to play yet. And so I was just like winging it and talking to them about stuff. And I was like, who wants to say their memory verse in the microphone? And this little boy shoots his hand up. And I was like, okay. I was like, what is the Bible verse? And he goes, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of any kind. La, 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 la. It says that whole verse.
It was a long one.
Yes. And I was like, that is awesome. I was like, when did you learn that? And he's like, oh, I learned that a long time ago. And then I talked to him later and he learned that at another VBS that he went to this summer. Oh. And he's already learned our verse. So this kid is like, I just love that he has all these verses in his brain. Like, he's so cute and he's just like so
And he was
smart.
In the little kids section.
Yeah, he's four.
Good grief.
I know.
It's incredible.
Yeah, he's learning, like, I don't know where that verse is, but he's got it.
My goodness.
I know.
It's
very cool.
Yeah. All right, very cool. So what do we want to talk about now?
I want to talk about Luke chapter 10 because I'm preaching on it on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
So this is the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
And this is a pretty common, if you are even mildly familiar with church, like if you've just kind of walked past the church on a sidewalk, you might have accidentally heard this before. is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. And
yeah, you probably have heard it.
So I just got this Bible that I'm using when I moved to Grapevine. And so all the notes I've made in it are from the past 2 years. And we've already preached on this at least once while I've been here, like to prove how common it is.
Yeah. So basically somebody stands up and asks Jesus, like, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus gives an answer. Love God and then love your neighbor.
Well, this time they don't ask him the greatest commandment. In the other ones they do, but what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Yes.
Which I just think is an interesting differentiation.
It's a very like cut to the chase question.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't know. It's just like, tell me the like bare bones. What do I need to do to get what I want quickly?
Yeah.
Kind of question.
A lot of these questions of Jesus are tricks, like trying to get him to slip up. This one may or may not be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of falls in that gray area. I dropped the thing. I'll find it later. So this kind of follow-up question is, who is my neighbor? After Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And he tells about someone who's going from, is it Jerusalem to Jericho? Is that right? Yes, Jerusalem. Going down the mountain of Jerusalem to Jericho. And he gets beaten up by robbers and basically left for dead in the ditch. Let me make sure I get this right. It's a priest first. Yeah, now by chance there was a priest going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise a Levite, which is, you know, also of the priestly line. And so someone who's supposed to be religious, spiritual, and helpful and know better, he also passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. When he saw him, he was moved with pity, went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, and he took his own animal, brought him to the inn, and he took care of him. And the next day he paid the innkeeper to take care of him and said, when he comes back, I'll pay you whatever other expenses there are. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, Samaritan, Jesus is seeing the priest, so the pastor of a church, big church, really important person, sees someone in need, goes to the other side of the street, just keeps going. A Levite, also someone, so that would be like seminary professor, other important religious person, passes on the other side of the street, but a Samaritan, which is a biker from Oklahoma who votes however you don't like people to vote, is coming along, sees him, and helps him out. Spends good money, two denarii. That's a lot of money to cover expenses for this man to make sure that he is taken care of. Yeah. So that's my version, my translation. Yeah,
I like it. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the stories that you hear so often, and even, I mean, I feel like this is one of the stories that kind of transcends, might not be the right word, but it goes beyond Christianity. Like, everyone knows the story of the Good Samaritan, I think.
Yeah, it's like foundational to Western civilization.
Yeah. And so I think it's so common that sometimes it's easy to look over the hard truths that it's telling us. Like the idea of being a neighbor, even when it's really hard, is hard. And I think sometimes we kind of keep it at arm's length, and we keep this story as a very abstract thing.
Yeah, because we're starting a series on being a good neighbor. And how do we take these passages seriously? If Jesus says, love your neighbor, and let's say we take the word neighbor literally to mean the people near us, then how does that call us to change our behavior? And so how are we good neighbors to those around us? And I think it's easy for us to send good vibes into the universe, think positive thoughts, try not to cut people off on the interstate, and then we're good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to love your neighbor if you're doing it from a distance and you don't know them.
Yeah.
So there's a book called The Art of Neighboring, and I heard one of the authors speak at a conference in Seattle. And this guy said, he's from Denver, and he said he really got to thinking about this idea of neighboring, being the act of being a good neighbor. He said, realized he didn't know any of his actual neighbors, like the people who lived next door to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like didn't know their names and lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
So started to try to get to know their names. And he describes a situation in a book where he goes to talk to someone and that person does know his name. Already, and knows who and what he is.
Yeah.
I knew that the whole time. And I had that exact same experience at my apartment complex.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I had these two next-door neighbors who are TCU students, and one of them had they lived there for a while. Just, hi. You know, that was the extent of, the relationship. They knew who I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How?
They knew who I am? I don't know. Forget grammar. They knew me. They'd been to my church. They were friends with someone who went to my church. Yeah.
That's funny. That's one of the things that you pointed out to me when I started working here. And because we'll go to lunch on Main Street a lot. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
yeah,
just know that everyone knows who you are here. And I've found that to be true. And that, not that you need that kind of pressure, but it's a good reminder for me, like, how am I acting? What am I doing? I don't know.
Yeah, there's certain, and so we're pastors. Our church is right off Main Street. It's a block away. Yeah, and we'll go eat here, and yeah. So you just talk to them. You can ask them pretty directly. The places we go relatively frequently. Do you know who I am? Yes, they do know.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't know your name, they know where you work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's everywhere around here. And the same could be with your neighbors. But the thing is, so going back to if loving your neighbor is something we have to do, you kind of have to know them first or be known. Because it's not just about helping a stranger. It's about helping the people who are close by.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, try to get to know your neighbors.
Yeah.
And that's probably like the most challenging thing you can say to a room full of suburban people. Because if we say to our church, hey, we really want you to spend $5,000 to go to Kenya on a mission trip for 2 weeks, you could get hurt and or killed by wild animals or people with guns. Mm-hmm. You know, this could happen. They'll say, okay, well, let me check my calendar. But if you say, take a casserole to the next day we're moved in, they say, no, I don't think I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have 120 neighbors here every day
this week.
Yeah. And a very small pool of good Samaritans who are taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I'd say out of the 150 kids that we have here this week, I would say probably about 30 or 35 are members here. Mm-hmm. And all the rest are just people from our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm thinking about when I was in college and I worked at Aldersgate United Methodist, which was right across the street from my college. And they went through like a visioning process where they really examined who they were as a church and what they wanted to do. And they realized they didn't know their neighbors, and they realized that they didn't know, like the literal people around them. And so kind of like we have mission or we have villages here, the different areas around the world and here in Grapevine where we, have relationships with people. They had four of them in the city. And so one of the cool ones was their actual physical neighborhood. And they, decided it took like 2 or 3 years of Pastor Amy working on this, but they created a community garden, called, I think, the Open Door Garden. And it's a place where the whole community, can like gather together. They can take what they need, for food. They all help plant and things like that. And it's transformed the neighborhood. And it's really been this thing where they meet their neighbors and meet people by offering them something they need. And that, I think it takes a lot of courage because you don't want to be, you never want to go in someplace and be, like the know-it-all. But to enter in a humble way, like, what can I do to help here?
Did you look at me when you said that?
No. Did I?
I'm just messing with you.
Oh. But you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's interesting how, like, different we teach kids stories like this. Because this is a story that you learn in kids' Sunday school all the time. Like, mm-hmm. they're always doing this story. Because it's a good thing for kids to learn. Just like being nice to people who need your help, no matter what. But I think it's interesting that, I mean, I know that when I was growing up, I learned a man walked down the street and passed on the other side. Another man walked down the street, walked by the other side. And then the third man did this, this, and this. And so it's like we don't hear, we hear that, and then it's not till we're much older and it's already been ingrained in us and we are not accepting new information about this topic that we hear, oh no, this was like a pastor of a church who mm-hmm. walked by. And this was like a Bible teacher who walked by. And the guy who helped was the guy that everybody had like this social permission to hate. Like you were allowed to hate this person. You were allowed to, it was completely, it would be weird if you didn't hate this person. Yeah. And that's the person who came and helped. And so, yeah, I think that it's important to reread it as an adult and like really let that information set in that like this wasn't just three random people. This was three very specific people. And like Jesus tells the story this way on purpose is to tell you like the people who were supposed to stop didn't. The person who nobody would expect to stop is the only one that did. And so I just think that that's interesting that we don't necessarily do that when we're little and learning it, but we do like, it's important to the story. Like it's a big part of it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we can use that to be kind of the story to be kind of a challenge to ourselves. Like, hey, if you are a church person and you would consider yourself a religious person, it's a challenge. Like, hey, why aren't you doing this? But if you don't feel like particularly empowered or smart or capable or whatever, the idea that God can use even a Samaritan or even the person that is least expected is encouraging, I think. And it's a good reminder that God even wants to use us in our normalcy and our mundaneness and our whatever to help people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What else are you going to say about it on Sunday in your sermon, Carly?
Well, I'm working that out right now. It's not Friday. If you're listening to this on Friday, don't worry. I've already got it written, hopefully.
Oh, let's all ask her if she's got it written by then.
I think, I don't know, the thing that I'm wrestling with is just how hard it is to actually do this, because I literally pass people on the road who need help, but I've also been told by my dad don't go help people on the side of the road. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so what part of me, it's an internal struggle sometimes for what is appropriate? What is God calling me to do? And I don't.
What's the name of the person who lives right next to you in your apartment complex?
Haley and Chance.
There you go. That's really good.
So I learned, I don't know the people on the other side. So this Christmas I did, because I noticed I live around a lot of young people. I was trying to make friends. And there's a nice old lady at the end of the street, into the complex that I wanted to meet. And so I made them Christmas candy. And almost all of them, like, introduce themselves back to me. And I think it really made me realize that people are craving for community, and they want to know their neighbors. They just don't know how. We've kind of lost that art, because mm-hmm. I don't have to know my physical neighbors now when I have my phone to text the person who lives across the country, or we think we don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. And like, nobody wants to be rejected. Like, that's why it's hard to make friends as an adult, is because mm-hmm. when you're a kid, kids just do the same. They all are playing tag and you just jump in and do it. Like, adults aren't like that. Adults are in their tiny bubble of people and we don't branch out. And so it's hard when, you don't want to be the one that, like, it's hard to be the one that reaches out, because you don't want somebody to, like, why would I care to know you? You know what I mean? Like, I have my own stuff going on. So that can be tricky.
I think it's worth the risk.
I think so too.
Because there are,
but it's just difficult.
Facebook groups for your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
This book actually that this is based on. We're not going to try to force you to read a book. Okay, so we're not going to have stacks of them and get you to read it. If you want it, you can get it, and you can read it yourself. but. This book has tips, like things you would normally do in your backyard. Try doing it in your front yard.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to cook out, move your grill around front.
Mm-hmm.
Going to throw a ball, do it in the front yard instead of the back. This actually works for one of my neighbors. I live in an apartment complex, but he cooks outside all the time. And one time I'm not going to say I was walking by. I was limping by because my cantankerous knee was being particularly problematic that day. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Have a seat. Sit down. Let me bring you something. You all right? And just got to talking, and his whole family's out there playing, and so they grew up in Fort Worth. They're Hispanic. They're multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
And my background is to different degrees. But so we had that in common. Talked about that life, in this area. And I'm originally from Arkansas. They want to know a lot about that.
Yeah.
They thought that was pretty fascinating, and it's just interesting to talk about what we have in common, what's different. They don't go to church, so when I say I'm a pastor, it's kind of quiet for a second.
Yeah.
But then they start asking the questions that I think even church people really want to actually ask, like, so what do you actually do, like, what?
Yeah.
So when people die, do you have to, like, go, things like that? They want to know all the stuff.
Yeah.
And but because I'm not their pastor specifically, I'm just their neighbor. Yeah, they can ask anything. And I love it. I love that, honestly. And it's hard to explain to them, no, look, seriously, this is what I do at my church. It's cool to ask me anything.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, but I was sitting there and being the recipient of the act of being a good neighbor by somebody who, he's cooking food for his family. He doesn't have to care that his neighbor looks like he's in pain,
Yeah.
What? No one beat me up. I have shoes on. It's not like, it's not like I'm not going to be fine. He just is nice. Yeah.
I think there are more opportunities there than we realize. Yeah. But if we can think mm-hmm. creatively.
Yeah.
We can find a way that maybe stretches you out of your comfort zone a little bit, but also makes sense for you. Like, I'm not going to cook out in front of my neighbors, but I am going to. But I can bring them candy. Like,
yeah, you make a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's something that makes sense for you, I think.
Another place that is challenging to be a good neighbor is at work.
Mm.
And I think you're a really good work neighbor.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, even though we work in a church, it's not like we're, like, hugging on each other all the time and saying like, God bless you. And what, it, you know, we have a normal office where people are coming and going and trying to get a lot done before we can go home. And so it can be pretty tough. And I think you do, I think both of you actually do a really good job of being good neighbors up here.
Thanks.
Whereas I'm like, look, I've been here a long time. I'm going to outlast you. We've had a lot of staff turnover. Yeah, we'll see if you make it. Yeah, I'm not the best staff neighbor. Yeah. Can I tell one more like good neighboring
story? Yes, please do.
I will not say this guy's name, even though I definitely remember it. It wasn't my current apartment. It was one I lived at before, which was cheaper. And a more affordable apartment is more open to people of all walks of life. And this guy was a, like, he didn't, he worked like an oil rig. He had a very salty life. I'll just say that. A lot of tattoos, smoked a lot of cigarettes. So he's always outside. And I had a lot of car trouble. And the first time we met, he sees me working on my car. He just comes down with his tools and introduces himself and starts handing me things.
That's neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And just we just had a great relationship. And I had a, this sounds really spoiled to say this, but I had a spare Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this first conversation is complaining about his like cable setup. And so I just gave him my Apple TV. They were like $100, I think, at the time. You'd have thought I gave him a gold brick. just so it was ended up being such a good friend, and we'd hang out. He had a criminal record, he had, which was just great stories.
Yeah,
you know, it talked about nothing violent, you know, nothing like that. But he was talking about how it impacted him financially because it was hard to get work because of these mistakes he made early on in life. He had a tiny four wheeler, a little ATV, lived on a third floor, and he had it on his balcony.
What?
And I said to him, it's pretty small, but not so small you can pick it up. Like,
yeah.
It's still heavy. I said, how'd you get that up there? And he just laughed. That was his response. Just laughter. No explanation whatsoever. Aww. Yeah. Loved this guy.
No, I want to know.
He doesn't
too.
Have social media, so I can't, like, go and. I've tried to look him up.
Yeah.
And I can't find him.
Aww.
But yeah, just great. Real thick accent. Just real thick, you know? Ah, geez. I'm trying to think of some of the funny stuff he used to say. Anyway, it was great. But I just love somebody who, you know, just takes a risk, just sees their neighbor doing something and shows up.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we try or we do things out of a sense of obligation, but really it's really being a neighbor to someone, there's a benefit. Like, you get to make friends and you get to know people on a new level and you get to like have this sense of community that's not there. And so I think when we're talking about neighboring it, if you just think of it as your obligation to help people, then you're missing out on the fuller picture.
I think the friendship is important because we're created to do life together.
Mm-hmm.
And friends are fun. Enjoyment. Your brain is wired for fun. More of your brain operates on whatever task is at hand if you are enjoying yourself. Your brain is wired for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more of that that's going on, the more your brain's working. And also, when you're in a pickle, who are you going to call? Your friends. So, and that's who's going to call you.
Ghostbusters.
What?
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. Doodly-doo-doo-doo. That's a cultural reference, Carly.
I know, and what? I get it.
You get a cultural reference?
Woo! She made it. What's this? Get it?
Let me get this minute mark. It's 29 minutes. Like, Mark, put in some funny sound effects right here. Thanks, Mark, for putting that in there. Awesome. Yeah. So who are you going to call? You're going to call your friends and... That's who's going to call you. Like, that's who's going to trust you with talking about if they have cancer, you know, if they lose a loved one, they're having a financial problem. I just need to vent. The car breaks down somewhere sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you call friends.
Yeah.
And that's Yeah, and that's an honor. It's an adventure. It's the good stuff in life. Yeah. I made it got weird looks, but I made the comment in church. Was it a couple weeks ago now? I just introduced Bruce Herndon because he's a cool guy. And
yeah.
I've realized not everybody knows who he is. And this is something I've noticed over and over again. I'll mention someone I think of as like a pillar, like a literal pillar of the church. Like the building's going to fall down.
Right.
If Bruce isn't here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just kind of shrug like, I don't know who that is, even though I've been going here 20 years. So I've been trying to point them out every week. But also like a lot of people have moved here from somewhere else. And so they don't have their friend base. And I like to go ahead and say, well, there's Wade. You know, Wade's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Get to know Wade. And I made this comment about, if you need a friend, there's one. I'm ready for somebody to just come up and ask me for a friend. I get all these referrals for criminal attorneys. First of all, how do people know to ask me that? That's what's always crazy. But I just want somebody to ask me for a friend. I literally had someone come up to me after church and said, you know, since I've moved here 5 years ago from such and such state, I don't want to say anything about to identify this guy, because he said, I haven't really connected with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that I like cars and the message, and he's really into cars. He's like, I don't have a mechanic. Like, I don't have all this here. And I think to myself, I'll be your friend.
Yeah.
So, but seriously, we're going to get together for lunch.
Nice.
I'm going to introduce him to James, our youth director, who works on old Jeeps. Because also this guy goes, yeah, you mentioned mission trips. I saw the youth up there. I'd love to help out. I have no idea where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And that's great. But that takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
But hopefully we can make that move for them. You know, we can say, hey, I sit relatively close to you in church every week, and I don't have a clue who you are. But I bet you like lunch. So what are you doing in about 15 minutes?
Yeah. And we're still lucky that we have so many good places to eat lunch.
Yeah.
Five minutes away.
Yeah. Well, I noticed a lot of people, not me, I'm not from here, but a lot of people around here have strong opinions about barbecue. Like really strong. Oh, yeah,
that's
strong.
Like a Texas thing, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like a weird little religion here.
Yeah.
Well, invite people or get in an argument about barbecue and invite them to go eat barbecue with you.
Yeah, nice. To prove to them that you're right.
Yeah. Like Ted Shaw has a group of people he goes and gets barbecue with, a group of friends.
Nice.
Yeah. They'll go stand in line. They'll drive. Yeah, it's hardcore. So there you go. Sorry, I'm rambling about
That's
friends
okay.
and ways to make friends and neighbors.
Yeah.
I'm shutting up now.
You're good. What else?
Well, don't look at me. I'm talking too much.
You're not talking too much. Especially because I have nothing to say. If I had something to say, then I would say you were talking too much.
Oh, my gosh. Such a good neighbor. Okay. So there's a little girl here at VBS. She is a member of our church. And I've always known that she's one of the most kind-hearted people I know. And she's like 10. But she brought a friend to VBS. And her friend, right before VBS, like last week, broke her leg and is in a cast and crutches. And she came to VBS anyway. And I've been going out to the rec area a lot because it's right by where my preschoolers have chapel. And they were doing something with water balloons. And I asked the little girl, I was like, oh, he's like, are you going to go do water balloons? And she was like, no. She's like, I'm not going to get wet because my friend can't get wet.
Aww.
And I was like, you're so nice, because they were having so much fun. Like, they are really leaning into the water game like situation in rec right now, which is fun because it's 100 degrees and they have to.
Now is the time.
Yeah. And so I just thought that was really fun because you could tell that she kind of wanted to be doing that.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really, really sweet of her to decide, like, you know, I kind of want to do this one thing more for myself, but I'm going to not do it because my friend can't. I want to be with her, mm-hmm. and I want her to feel like she's having a good time. It's like, you're like, that's a being a good neighbor. Like, she's yeah. sacrificing something that is fun for her for the good of somebody else, which I just thought was great. So I had to steal some water balloons and let them throw them, even though the kids weren't supposed to. So I was like, well, y'all are so sweet, and I can. So we did.
Yeah, you get bonus points for good behavior here.
Yeah. So yeah. I was like, yeah, you.
It's
can
just
do
like
things.
Prison.
Of course. That's a lot like what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it contained, and good behavior gets yeah. you where you want to go.
Gets you perks.
But I just thought that was really sweet.
That is. Yeah.
Because that's hard to do when you're like 9. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to sit out of a water
balloon fight. Evidently, it's hard
to
do when you're much older.
It's very hard. It's, but yeah, I love that.
Just judging by the way the world goes around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about this series. And you're right, we've preached on this, but I think.
No, with this
really
context.
Talking about, like, okay, really, how can you be a good neighbor today?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little. A little different, a little yeah. harder.
And, like, I think our church is really good at being a good neighbor to people in our community, but it's different for, like, what am I going to do? Not what are we yeah. as a church going to do? What programs do we have going on? Like, you know, there's a lot of places that you can do that, but, like, when I go home and I'm not here anymore, then what do I do to be a
yeah.
good neighbor?
Yeah. Oh, and I think sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Jim and Zona Peterson come to mind.
Oh my goodness,
because,
they're the best.
So yeah. when we have our fundraising meals, you can purchase a meal for your family, but Jim and Zona order like 8 meals and they give them to their neighbors.
Yeah.
Just to like be nice.
They just pick up these big bags of food and drive around and drop them off to people.
Yeah.
And it's so sweet. Every time. They've never ordered less than like 6 meals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always ordering more.
And then they say nice things about it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come in the office and say nice things. Which, you know, Alan knows he does a good job, but it's still nice to be told.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're super nice. They're part of our $2 a year staff team, which is, this ain't no volunteer gig. This ain't just going around.
They work
really
hard.
It's like you have a boss and a yeah. job and a shift that you have to work
yeah.
every week. Show up and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're I think the hardest workers, most diligent. Now they're off for a few weeks because they're doing their annual summer RV trip, which is really cool. They have
I
a route
go with
that
them.
They go. They go. I want to go everywhere with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they have a big RV and they drive. They do. I know Oklahoma. I know go visit family. I think New Mexico. I'll ask them.
I forgot. They told me.
Yeah. But that's just awesome. Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been talking about 38 minutes, and everybody in the room looks sleepy. That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am sleepy.
So I guess we should go ahead and... Oh, do you have anything fun to say? We didn't really have a lot of shenanigans.
I do have a cute VBS story.
All right.
So our Bible storyteller for preschool, I got to sit in a little bit on the last group of the day, which is, it's not the group of all boys, but it's a active group of preschoolers, which they all are. Mm-hmm. But she was doing the story, and today they learned about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and like the shoes of peace and that kind of thing. And so she's telling them how they walked and like they didn't have a car. They didn't have like streets that they could go on. They had to walk and like, or like ride on a donkey part of the way. And she was like, they walked for 10 whole days to get there. And this little boy's hand like shoots up and he's got a very concerned face. Like his face is all kinds of crunched up. And he goes, if they walked for 10 days, where did they nap? And I like just loved him. I was like, I think that's the best thing I've ever heard. Like that would be my thought. Where did they nap? And what did they eat? Like what kind of snacks did they have? But he was just very worried about where they might nap.
That's funny.
And I thought
that's
that was so
very
cute.
Important.
Oh, and your kid.
She's pointing at me.
Uh-huh. I went in there and they're doing their little craft. So they're making a bracelet and it has like a cross bead on it and then like other little pony beads. And then it has these little flip flop beads that we've that our craft director found. And I'm like, what? I was like, I get what I was like, why do you have these shoes? I was like, why are you putting shoes on your bracelet? And they're like, they're shoes. And everyone's just like, because they, one kid was like, because they told us to. And somebody else was like, I don't know. And Amelia goes, because they're shoes of peace. That's what we're learning today. Like, she was just like, mm-hmm. You guys get it together. It was so cute. So she remembered. She was like, they're shoes of peace, guys.
Oh, yeah. She remembers everything you say. Yeah.
It was great.
She can be sassy about it too.
It backfires on me sometimes, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it's been fun. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any shenanigans today.
Nope.
Yeah, but we'll make up for it next week.
Sounds good.
So, yeah. Will one of you two sign us off?
Go everywhere.
And eat everything. Bye. I can do a little